We make our plans, and when we act with hard hearts towards other people, when we act with unbelieving hearts towards other people, well, I can, you know, some people are just so easy to get at. Some people are such easy targets. I can use my position and their lack of knowledge to take something from them. Or if I just don't do anything, I can keep my good deal and they can just get along however they will. And God knows about that. We never consider the possibility, what does God want? What is the right thing to do? And so we put ourselves in competition with God. I will be clever. I will be clever and I will get something for myself. Don't try to match wits with God. It's always a mistake. Because when God begins to plan against you and against me, we're in big trouble. We are in big trouble. God, when he makes plans, he says this, I will have the last word. I will have the last word for those who abuse my name. What does it mean to abuse his name? It means saying to the world, I'm one of God's people. Therefore, look, my life is perfect. See? Neener, neener, neener. God doesn't do arrogance. He doesn't like it very well at all. I will have the last word for those who abuse my name, calling themselves my people. I will win the game that you think you're so good at, taking advantage of others, doing things that are legal but are entirely unethical and immoral. Everyone makes plans. And don't forget, God makes plans as well. And don't be in the position of having him plan against you. Did I mention this before? We live in a mad, mad world because we're all in it, us and our human nature. We live in a world where everybody is selling something. Let's read the next section here, verse 6 through 11 in chapter 2. And he's talking about false prophets and people who lie and deceive others. Do not prophesy, their prophets say. Do not prophesy about these things. Disgrace will not overtake us. God loves us. Should it be said, O house of Jacob, is the Spirit of the Lord angry? Does he do such things? He would never do that to us. Do not my words do good to him whose ways are upright? In other words, your life and my life has got to reflect what we're saying and what we're preaching. Lately, my people have risen up like an enemy, not my friends, not my children. You strip off the rich robe from those who pass by without a care. Like men returning from battle, you just do whatever you want. You drive the women of my people from their pleasant homes. You take away my blessing from their children forever. And many cultures around the world today, if a woman loses her husband, very often her brother-in-law will come and take her property and throw her out. That's a very common occurrence all across the world. Go, get up, go away, for this is not your resting place, because it is defiled. It is ruined beyond remedy. God is sending them out. If a liar and a deceiver comes and says to you, I will prophesy for you plenty of wine and beer, he would be just the prophet for this people. Someone who tells you exactly what you want to hear. And we have those prophets among us this very day. We have plenty of prophets who tell us exactly what we want to hear. They say, don't be so negative. What's the matter with you? God wants you to be wealthy and healthy all the rest of your days. All of this sin and forgiveness and atonement, the blood of Jesus, that's just nasty old stuff, and we don't want to hear about it. So let's talk about hope and how you can fulfill your own vision and be your own person. The promise of happiness sells It sells very well. You can have the joy of the Lord if you just, you know, pick it out. Go to the bookstore. You can be on the John the Baptist diet. You can be on the Elijah running program. We've got this kind of music that really, really works, gets the Lord here. Or this kind of dancing in your service. Or speaking in tongues. Or if you just sit quietly. Or if you just sing all your words from a hymnal. Whatever it is that you think brings the joy of the Lord. What brings the joy of the Lord is that we become more like Jesus. That's really it. And that's the message of the prophet. You can get happiness now. Read your happy books. But the joy of the Lord, that is something that's a little more elusive. That comes as we refuse to be pulled away from the Lord by the politics of our time. We refuse to be pulled away from the Lord by all the voices saying, you need to do this, you need to take care of yourself. Forget about those other people. This is why nobody likes prophets. It's true. Let me read you from the next chapter that the Indian fellow read at 1 Kings 21, a little piece from 1 Kings 22. Now, let me just give you the backstory. The kingdom was divided at this point, and there was the southern kingdom, which was Judah, where Jerusalem and the temple was, and then there was what became Samaria, but we call Israel, in this part of the Bible, and it had most of the 10 tribes, and Judah just had Judah and Benjamin, and maybe Simeon. And so the two kingdoms decided they had better get together on account of a common enemy they had. And so the king of Judah went down to visit the king of Israel, and he says, okay, your army is my army, and my army is yours. We'll be together in this thing. The king from Judah was named Jehoshaphat. And so he said to the king of Israel, who was Ahab, this nasty king from the north, and he said, you know, maybe we should find out what the Lord wants in all of this, he says to Ahab. So Ahab brought together his prophets, 400 of them, and he asked them, shall I go to war against Ramoth-Gilead, or shall I refrain? 400 prophets. Who needs 400 prophets? It's like a Broadway show. They got their robes on, and they get pots out, you know, made of clay, and they take metal rods, and they smash them. This is what you'll do to your enemies today, King Ahab. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And Jehoshaphat's listening along. He says, that's nice. Is there a prophet of Yahweh here that we could inquire of? He's not buying this story. He's still tuned into the Lord. And Ahab answered Jehoshaphat, there is still one man through whom we can inquire of Yahweh. I have an access to the truth, but I hate him because he never prophesies anything good about me. Always bad. He is Micaiah, son of Imlah. Now, the rest of the story is that they go and find this guy. He won't come when he summons him because he knows what this king's about. So they drag this grouchy little old guy, and he's standing there, and he says, should we go to war today or not? He says, absolutely, go to war. You'll be fine. And he says, no, tell me what the word of the Lord is. And so he says, well, you're going to battle today, and you're not coming home alive. How about that? And it came to pass. This is why nobody likes prophets. So if you throw your fate in with God and with his people, even in Jesus Christ, people will know about that, and they're not going to like it because you're not going to go along with the program. You're going to be something different in this world that people are just, that's not what they want to hear. You guys are crazy. I think we live in a mad, mad world. But in the end, it comes to this. You want to be on God's side. So let me read you the end of this chapter 2. And this is where he kind of turns the corner. He points out, for all this darkness that's around you, let me point out to you where the Lord is going. I will surely gather all of you, O Jacob. He's talking to Israel. I will surely bring together the remnant, that is, the little bit, the few who actually trust me, the ones who believe. I will surely bring together the remnant of Israel. I will bring them together like sheep in a pen, like a flock in its pasture. The place will throng with its people. It will be so alive to be part of God's people. One who breaks away, one who breaks open the way will go up before them and will break through the gate and go out. The king will pass through before them, the Lord at their head. That is a message of hope. It's a message of hope for those who believe and trust in the Lord. Yes, we live in a mad world, but God makes it very clear that we are to be his people. You won't always be popular. You won't always be able to go along with the status quo. I mean, we might, as a church, we might, as an institution in this culture, we may lose our tax status at some point. And you know what? Let it go. It doesn't change our status with God one bit. We are his people. And it might get worse than that. I don't know. But there is always, always a remnant. There's always a group of people who call themselves God's people and who live as God's people. Oh, as the prophet said, many call themselves, Jesus said this, many call me Lord, Lord, but on that day I will say to them, I don't know you. You don't want to hear that. You don't want to hear that. Many people name the name of the Lord, but they don't live for him. We are the Lord's people going out into all the world. And don't be surprised when the world does not love us. Jesus told us they're not going to love you. But as we watch the shadows grow, we are light in a darkening place. Each of us has a little part of our world. We talk about my world. In fact, on our website, there's a little form called My World. And it's got a place for you to write down 8 to 15 of the people that constitute your world. And God asks us to bless those people that he keeps pushing our way. God is always calling out a remnant of his own people. Who will trust me? Who will go with me? John Stott, who passed away just a few years ago, said this once when he was in the States. He was a Brit. He said, you know what your own country is like. I'm a visitor, and I wouldn't presume to know or to speak about America, but I know what Great Britain is like, and I know something about the growing dishonesty, the corruption, the immorality, the violence, the pornography, the diminishing respect for human life, the increase in abortion. Whose fault is it? Let me put it this way. If the house is dark at night, there is no sense blaming the house. That's what happens when the sun goes down. The question to ask is, where is the light? If meat goes bad, there's no sense in blaming the meat. That's what happens when bacteria are allowed to breed unchecked. The question to ask is, where is the salt to stop this rot? If society becomes corrupt like a dark night or a stinking fish, there's no sense in blaming society. That's what happens when fallen human society is left to itself and human evil is left unrestrained and unchecked. The question to ask is, where is the church? Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. That's what he made us to be. Now, I'm not saying that we can always turn the tides of history, but I'm saying if anybody's going to do it, it's going to be his people. So we need to act every day in our corrupt world. Do we act because we believe? Do Do we believe that God has planted seeds in all human hearts? Have you ever shared the gospel with someone and it has come to nothing and years have gone by? I sure have. But you know what? Those seeds are planted. I have every faith that God is able to take those seeds that have been planted and to bring them to fruition. I think we need to vote. The election's coming up. I'm not going to be here on election day, so I've voted already. I have heard many, many, many times, I just can't vote for anyone. We as believers are part of this world. We get a say. And so come next, not this Tuesday, but Tuesday next, we need to put our big people pants on and go and vote. And if you're not sure how to vote, I would recommend Franklin Graham. He came and visited a couple of months ago to Hartford, and he's got a website that just, he's not happy with either of the candidates either. But he just lists the issues. Here's the issues. And whichever one makes sense to you, you speak while you still have a voice. That's what we're to do. And trust God. Let me close with the words of Paul from Galatians. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A person reaps what they sow. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit of God, from the Spirit of God will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. And so the words, the ancient words of the ancient prophet, come rushing through into the New Testament and out into our lives. Let's pray. Lord, you are God. You are great. And sometimes we live in a silliness. We think we're so safe that we don't take you seriously as we ought to. We ask that you would help us to open wide our eyes. Show us what it means to be light to those 8 to 15 people that are in our life. Show us what it means to be salt in that process. And then expand our world even greater and greater as we trust you more. Be glorified in us, Lord. Whatever happens all around us, nothing can change our attachment to you. Nothing can change that in Christ we are your people. And so we ask that you would go with us this day and this week as we attempt every day to be and act like your people. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.